This is your announcer, Shannon St. Mainframe, welcoming you to our IPA Livecast. On this day, we commemorate one of the spiritual heroes of our time, rising from his resting place to ascend to a new plane of existence. Of course, I am talking about Nick Mars, who was thrown into the air when the steel rods on his back came in unfortunate contact with the powerful magnet. Join us in hailing this great prophet of our time. Our IP Livecast starts now.
Christ, Christ, Christ.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
I really like the pause after she says came. So it makes you think that the rods in his back ejaculated somehow.
Yeah.
Well,
she likes double entendres, Shannon.
He probably can't ejaculate in a normal way, so let the rods do it.
What comes out when Nick Mars comes?
Dust. No, I don't know. Bone marrow? I have no idea. I don't know.
Off to a hot start here on RIP Livecast. Welcome to the show. It's Rob here with Sid in 3D.
Hey.
And we're having a fun time. We're on Saturday mornings, 11 a.m.-ish Eastern time until about 12:30 p.m.-ish Eastern time. Live streaming on YouTube and Twitch. And, of course, available for download shortly after. Yeah. Wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Morning Drive on the West Coast.
That's exactly right. Weekend Morning Drive, the one time where there's probably not that much traffic, I would say.
In California, I mean, less.
On the 101.
Less than usual, perhaps.
Well, no one's going to work, so a lot of people are off the roads on Saturday morning.
People work. People work at the In-N-Out Burger,
mm-hmm.
at like the Universal Studios gift shop. There's people.
All right. I know is there's plenty of traffic on Saturday and Sunday in New York. Not as much, granted, as the weekdays, but still pretty hefty. I would say it's probably the same in Los Angeles, but what do I know?
Have you been on the 101, Rob? Have you driven in Los Angeles traffic?
I have. It's painful. It's just very slow. You know, you're rolling at like 3 miles an hour.
Oof.
And it's fucked up because it's like a drive. I mean, I guess it's just like this in New York. A drive that normally takes 20 minutes would take an hour or something like that, you know. So, but whatever. The thing that's kind of annoying about L.A. with that is you're like, okay, the highway sucks. I'm going to take the streets. And the streets take just as long.
Because everyone else had the same thought?
Yeah. But we're really off to a hot start here talking about L.A. traffic.
We were better than Buffalo traffic.
Oh, yeah. How's that doing? Do you still have that bookmarked?
Let's see.
Do a little Buffalo traffic update. The toll crossing.
The interchange. Hi, everybody. Virus and the Gorilla with you. Checking in. Let's go to our traffic report. What do you say?
Oh, really, Rob. Crowd user.
I can't seem to find it. Hold on one moment.
How are things looking on the 95? Well, we seem to be having technical difficulties.
Oh, no. The chopper's down.
Why don't we play a record?
What's okay, now? We have... Oh, here we go. We have the Canada inspection lane. Do we want the bridge camera or the... or the inspection lane camera.
Surprise. Inspection lane.
Oh, okay.
I want to see people sweating.
Yeah. I'd see a brick of coke.
Here's the line to get into Canada. As you can see, it's not that bad. It's pretty low. It's only about 20 cars deep per lane. Mm-hmm. Seems to be about 6 lanes open.
I thought the line to get in, that was the cars like headed towards us. You're off in the distance. Those cars are all waiting.
Yes. Damn. Canada?
Yes.
Can you zoom? Can we zoom in on those cars? See if anybody's like throwing vials of cocaine out the window.
I cannot
zoom in on that grass right before you get up to the line. See what's in there.
Yeah, I can't zoom on the YouTubes, unfortunately.
What was the other angle you had? The bridge? Let's do the bridge angle just to make sure the bridge is still up.
Yeah, right.
After this week, you never know.
Peace Bridge is still up, but one lane. Only one lane of traffic right now, so it's a little...
Weird. Why is that? Slow.
Everybody obeys it, even though there's no blockading or anything.
Yeah.
Very nice. What is this? Oh, it's a. You could even go back.
No!
There's a little 10-hour DVR situation. It was like last 10 hours ago. It was pretty quiet.
Oh, one guy breaking the rules. He's in the right lane. What's the appeal of
this? Oh, let's watch the sunset. Oh, this is nice.
Spy on your fellow man, fellow citizen. With 10
the appeal
hours
of this finish. is to see the traffic. See what the traffic is like at the
bridge. No. I meant the appeal of rewinding it to like 10 hours ago.
Oh, that's just the administrator of the Peace Bridge Authority did not uncheck that that feature on the live stream. There is no need to DVR.
I like that there's three other people besides us watching this right now. I wonder why. Like, I wish we could reach out to them. Just like, okay, why are you watching this?
Yeah, we have a podcast. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Maybe they're all podcasts.
Yeah.
I love all. And
the Lambgoat podcast, as we speak, is doing a Buffalo Bridge report.
They're on first.
Oh, there's also the U.S. inspection line. Ooh. This is the other side. As you can see, less open lanes. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, same as me. Six lanes each way. So never mind. But it's very inefficient because, as you can see, these first two lanes are siphoning off the third lane's line. So as a driver, it is in your best interest to get into the rightmost lane because you will get into these shorter lanes here. Mm-hmm.
There's like you need like a speed pass or something or the
no I actually I remember this from my experience driving into the U.S. It's just like this. It's just, you know, it's the flow of traffic.
I guess we can spoil this now. This episode is a pilot for Rob's new lean geometry podcast.
No, it's more like driving optimization situation. I'm always trying to figure out which lane is the most optimal to be in.
Well, this
is progressing.
This system is clearly not functional. Like, you know, you're supposed to have one like kind of line that feeds everything, and then you can choose once you get closer where you can go. This just seems like a mess of cars just going into one thing, and then they split off into one lane randomly at some point.
Yeah,
it's definitely a mess.
Fucking Buffalo, typical. That's why they never win a Super Bowl.
Come on, Peace Bridge.
So sad. At least the weather seemed okay up there.
Come on, guys.
The big criminal news this week is that the home of Sean Peace Love Diddy Holmes.
Oh. Holmes?
Holmes. Sean Combs, Diddy, or what's his name? Is Love now? I don't know.
What?
Did he change?
He changed his name to Love at one point, I think.
Loving kids.
Something stupid like that. I'll look it up. But his house got raided. Have we talked about this on the show, that there was this crazy lawsuit that got dropped with insane Vince McMahon level allegations against Diddy, in that he's has a, you know, decades worth of criminal sexual harassment towards women and men, and that what he would do is something in this complaint. Now, I want to be clear, these are all allegations. This hasn't quite been confirmed as fact necessarily, but there does seem to be a lot of evidence pointing to it. But in this lawsuit, it's alleged that Diddy would have these big parties, and he would have every inch of his house where the party is happening. Sorry for the pregnant pause there. Every part of his house was on closed circuit camera, and he would tape all of these rich people engaging in these salacious acts with sex workers, and then use that as bribery material. And then there was also
Diddy Epstein.
Yeah. Yes, a lot of comparisons to Epstein, a little blackmail, correct. And then also there was allegations of grooming, which of him grooming young boys and young girls, and a lot of people. So before I get to that,
young boys to fuck him or to fuck other people? Are we saying
to
he's
fuck
bisexual?
Other people.
He's trafficking.
We are saying he is bisexual, though. There is allegations that he had sex with men, that he forced men to have sex with men. Honestly, at this point, it's hard, other than what's in the legal briefing, it's hard to know what to believe. because I have never seen such an excuse for conspiracy theories. This is like the primo conspiracy theory. Like, as I've mentioned on the show in recent weeks, you know, I have a very unhealthy addiction to Twitter, specifically the For You section of Twitter, where it's recommended tweets as opposed to a sequential timeline of tweets. And somehow, I mean, I don't know, somehow, I probably liked a few tweets, but I'm on Diddy paranoia Twitter, you know, like I, and these tweets that I get are just crazier and crazier. Like, look at this astrologist, listen to her video. And the video is like 20 minutes. Like, she called it all. She predicted everything that's going on with Diddy. And I'm like, I'm not going to watch
this. Yeah. You know? It's like, Cleo?
It's not, it's some white woman. But
it's because that woman does a 20, like those 20 minute videos 14 times a day and
right.
Everything you could possibly predict.
Yes.
And then pulls it out when something happens.
And then they're like resurfacing these interviews. Like, there was an interview on Howard Stern that Usher did. Usher. Some in the North call him Usher. But I believe in the South he's referred to as Usher.
Okay.
Usher.
Imagine the rest of the show is just you saying that over and over again and laughing at yourself.
Usher. I said Usher.
Usher. Guys, I'm hilarious, guys.
Usher.
Usher was on Howard Stern talking about how he would go to Diddy got him a prostitute at age 13, that Diddy was his mentor as he was coming up in the music business, and that he lost his virginity to a sex worker at the age of 13 at the behest of Diddy, and that Diddy that, like, he's like, oh, I saw these things at his house that I can't even talk about, you know, and people are like, see, this is proof.
I can't even talk about it.
I guess because it's not necessarily legal, maybe.
Because Diddy probably has blackmail material on him, too.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Well, exactly. And then there's all this footage of, and this is uncomfortable, of Diddy at like 40 years old asking a 13-year-old Justin Bieber why he's not hanging out with him. I could probably find this, but it's the oddest footage. And it, you know, look. I like I said, I think the conspiracies are out of control, but there is something weird here.
To say that if you like, this is the best, most plausible explanation for why he was as famous, as successful as he was, that he just had blackmail on everyone in the entertainment industry, because I've never seen any amount of discernible talent from him. Yeah. And he became a superstar anyway. I can never understand how or why. And this completely explains it, so I'm going to choose to believe it.
I also think, you know, we started out this segment saying, like, oh, you know, I believe in that. Well, I follow all these crazy, wild conspiracies. Yeah. This was the trigger for all this. I mean, this is kind of confirmation of some of these conspiracy theories.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. There is. So I'm not finished with my overall thesis, okay. But yes, go ahead.
But my point is, while there may be weirdos, for example, the astrologer woman who take it to a higher diving board, perhaps. This is certainly, there's certainly some fire to this smoke.
Yes, absolutely. So everything that I've mentioned up until this point is reasonable conspiracy mongering, right? And here, let me cue up this. I have this footage of Diddy and a young Justin Bieber. This is from, you know, a few years ago, where, you know, there's a 30 year age gap between the two of them, or whatever, or 20.
The cool uncle.
This isn't even the video I saw before.
How's he not embarrassed to record this?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to be driving this next year.
Yeah, when you get 16, you come down and you got to, you know, wear your seat.
I mean, I'm 15. You can ride in the passenger seat. I got my permit now.
Oh, my God.
Let's slow down, Jess. Okay. Let's slow down. Okay.
One step at a time.
Where's that hand? Yeah. The keys is yours. When you get 16. He's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like, you know, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose.
What?
But it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream.
What?
You know, I,
did he,
I
had, Justin Bieber win a contest or something? Why did he just
sign to Usher?
I'm signed to Usher.
I had legal guardianship of Usher when you know he did his first album. I did Usher's first album. I don't really
that was obviously brought up.
Him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So and we gonna go full crazy.
Crazy.
I'm taking this out tonight.
What you wanna do? What you wanna do over the next 48 hours?
48 hours. Let's go. Let's just go get some girls. Let's go
in
and get some girls.
A man after my heart. That's what I'm talking about.
Jeez. Well, here's the clip that I
what was this for?
I don't even know. This is just for the internet.
like he just filmed this and posted this on his own accounts, or was this
a
show?
No.
It's for evidence for his trial coming up.
Yeah,
man, you good?
I'm good. How are you,
all right, young brother? Everything's good. Everything's selling out arenas and everything. Yeah. Starting to act different, huh? You ain't been calling me and hanging out the way we used to.
Jealous girlfriend.
Well, I mean, you try to get in contact with me, you know, through all my, you know, partners and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really got my number, so.
Right. Okay.
My number?
Yeah. I'll
tell you my number.
Yeah.
This is a 42-year-old talking to a 17-year-old.
But also, like, this feels like a bit. This feels like a stage, whatever.
I think that's very fair, Sid. I think that's very fair of you to say. Anyway, so this is, like, the reasonable stuff. Beyond that now, is, like, I have seen so much homophobia. I guess one of the big revelations in the lawsuit, I guess, is that Meek Mill, Diddy forced Meek Mill to have sex with a guy or something like that.
All right.
And then,
what did Meek Mill say about this?
Meek Mill,
his mouth was full, so he couldn't be reached.
Exactly. Like, he buried his own grave. He really dug his own grave because he like overcompensated about how masculine he was. Oh, really? And that he loves eating cooch and all this so when this lawsuit came out, the story on conspiracy Twitter wasn't Diddy is a monster. Look at all these credible sexual harassment claims against him. The story was, yo, did you know that Meek Mill took some dick or something like that? You know, like that was a bigger story than the overall story, just because it's like this person who presents as straight once acted in a homosexual manner. You know what I mean?
Didn't Meek Mill do extensive jail time? Like, how are we not assuming he fucked dudes already anyway? Like,
that's different, Sid. That's a lot.
Gay for the state doesn't count.
There's always an unfortunate spate of this whenever like any black public figure has any run-in with like homosexuality, or even somebody like a basketball player, was it, just wore pink nails or something? Yeah. Did you see that, Sid?
No,
I did not.
Even
Dwight Howard.
Yeah, exactly. Dwight has. So it's just, there's just like a certain sub genre of people that will just go like,
yeah,
right. A few weeks before, there was that Cat Williams interview where he spoke the truth and whatever. And one of the big things that came out of that interview was his conspiracy that Hollywood has it against the black man, and that like the powers that be, in order to accept a black man, if you want to be a black man to make it in Hollywood and get the powers that be's blessing, you have to perform in humiliation rituals. And the humiliation ritual.
I feel like Dave Chappelle even said that way back.
Sure. Right. The humiliation ritual is that you have to put on a dress, or you have to.
Big Mama's house and all sorts. Yeah.
Right. And so. Right. And this is now like, which look, that may as well be true. But him saying that, I feel like, has given so many people permission to just say outwardly homophobic thing, just brutally homophobic thing, and just, you know, why are you acting like a sissy, like questions like that, like you're giving it to the Hollywood intimidation ritual now, you can't show weakness, you know, like this toxic masculinity is coming out. And it even, if you recall, on the Oscars, John Cena did a bit where he came out naked for the best costume award, which I thought was a hilarious bit, and This was a few weeks after that Cat Williams interview. So then people were trying to say that this was Hollywood making John Cena go through a humiliation ritual. This guy that's fucking jacked to the gills.
And he's half naked in wrestling all the time already, right. Anyway.
And so they humiliated him by having him show his muscles to the entire world. Like, this is him emasculating himself when I'm sure, knowing what a, like, knowing John Cena's Family Guy-esque sense of humor, he was probably all about this.
But also, even if it's true, if you're telling me that the Oscars directors were like, all right, John Cena, you want to be on the show, this is the only way we will allow you within 10 miles of our show, that's how it should be. Yeah, I mean, why shouldn't he have to humiliate himself to be on the Oscars? Who the fuck is he? Who are you?
And right. I think that the worst proprietor of this homophobia, the leader of this toxic masculinity,
Shlomo Choina.
Close. It's 50 Cent.
Oh yeah, I saw this. I saw this video. This is hilarious.
Which one are you talking about? I don't have a video in mind.
All right, I'll let you say what you're saying. I saw a video where he was on, like, someone unearthed an old video of him talking about being at a Diddy party or something. And
Diddy wanted to buy him clothing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. I just thought that's what you were talking
about. I'm sorry. You're right. Actually, okay, here we go. I want to make sure I have the right time.
Got all the comments this is right.
He doesn't even know what he's saying. It's like fruity. He says something fabulous and he goes, yo, no, but me and you, we ain't party. Like, we need to party. What are you talking about? When people say that to me, I get a little uncomfortable. Like, when you see Jay.
I've never seen a modern adult male have more gay panic than 50 Cent. Like, what are you trying to touch me? Like, oh, God forbid.
Yeah. He is the king.
He just put his head down like... While we stuck here right now, and the cameras is rolling, everybody see. Don't make like it's just me, man.
This isn't even the clip that I saw. There's like multiple clips.
Like he said something to me one time a long time ago. He told me he'd take me shopping.
Oh, this
was
it.
I'm like, what'd you just say? Let me move, man, before I do something. You're gonna make me mess up the wedding. Let me get out. No, dude, take me test.
Taking a guy shopping is gay. That's it. It's gay.
That's what a guy says to a girl. Says things.
Because literally a week ago, my wife's best friend's husband offered to take me suit shopping.
Yeah.
And now I know that I need to gay bash him for this. Now I know how offended I should really be. And that, it's not that just he and everyone around him thinks I have no style. That he wants to get me in that fucking dressing room and bend me over.
Now, Sid, we all know on this show, and all our listeners know, you're not homophobic, but this is a good excuse to like punch him in the dick.
First, I get him to take it out, and then bam, right on the dick skin. Well,
get the suit first.
Okay. Well, maybe if it's a nice enough suit and he offers to pay for it, maybe I would let him do some stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Why not?
We'll see what happens on the day. I'll report back.
And so
run it by 50 cents, see if it's okay.
So like on conspiracy Twitter, it's like, oh, Diddy is soft, Diddy is not to be trusted, but 50 Cent is the ideal of pure masculinity, you know? Like, obviously we've given 50 Cent plenty of flowers on the show for his wonderful takes about Ja Rule.
Yes. Yeah.
But here he and I do not agree.
There was some homophobia in there too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And funny enough, with Diddy going so hard, I mean, I'm sorry, with 50 Cent going so hard on Diddy, with Fitty going so hard on Diddy, Ja Rule has come out saying, I hope Diddy gets, you know, the help he needs. Like you know, I hope everyone gets saved. He like went the God route.
Yeah.
So now with the conspiracy Twitter, this other angle that I'm seeing is, oh, they've got Diddy. They raided his house in L.A. this week. They did a huge, embarrassing raid.
I think they raided a few of his houses, right?
Yeah, a few. You're right. It was a few of his properties. And there was a pretty fun moment because he lives in this posh L.A. neighborhood. And the feds blocked the driveways. Ridley Scott, his neighbor, couldn't get into his house. Could you imagine being Ridley Scott, pulling up, being like, what the fuck is this? Damn it.
He's probably worried they were raiding his house.
Yeah, well.
I'm sure they all got some shit going on.
And then there was this thing where, like, Diddy's plane took off right as he was getting raided, and they thought that he left the country. But he didn't actually leave the country. He was in Miami. And in Miami, his drug mule got arrested. A drug mule is, of course, Mace? A man or a woman who gets paid to carry around a celebrity's drugs for them so that the celebrity does not get arrested with drugs on them. And Mace is not the drug mule. Mace is, in fact, celebrating Diddy's predicament because Mace had a huge falling out with him like a decade ago.
Did he try to fuck him too, I guess? Or maybe. Take him clothes shopping or...
So the next phase of this conspiracy is now that Jay-Z is next. That Jay-Z is just as bad as Diddy, and he has the skeletons in his closet. And look, I mean, it adds up. Jay-Z was a very raunchy partier in the late 90s, early aughts. You know, he had like his...
Dad.
Well, you know, like, he had the song... He had Big Pimpin'. Like, I just immediately think of the song Big Pimpin'. Okay. It was very raunchy, Sid. It was very raunchy.
Say Usher one time, Rob.
Usher.
Yeah.
I can't even...
Usher was very risque, too, Rob, wasn't he?
I already... those jazz cigarettes.
Usher. Anyway, so here's a clip of just insane homophobia from 50 Cent about Jay-Z, which is just like, when you think of like, just Jay-Z come off gay to you? I don't know. So here.
So you image yourself after a gay painter. Your big homie want to look like a gay painter.
Was Basquiat gay?
What are
we
talking about here?
No!
Basquiat. He wants to look like a gay painter.
Oh, my God. I think I know where we're going with
this. So now, look, what I'm saying to you is, look, when you start looking at...
This isn't even the full clip, but yeah. Right. So Basquiat, by the way, not gay. He was, I guess you could say, hetero-flexible. He tricked early on in his early days to make some money.
You think 50 Cent's going to make that distinction?
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's like Hitler with Jews. It's like, you're Jewish.
Another painter. I wanted to point out, Rob, the counterpoint to that argument. He did paint. Isn't that kind of gay?
That's fair. Man, do you think like if 50 Cent's dad, I guess he probably never knew his dad. Maybe that's
why he's so... Whoa, he said, Rob, yeah, oh my God.
I was going to say, do you think when 50 Cent's dad goes to hug him, he's like, whoa, back off. Back off, homo. You know, like, get out of here.
Jesus.
Let me see. Funny enough, 50 Cent revealed in an interview that his mother was a lesbian.
Is that why he's all... sensitive about this? I mean, there's clearly some internalized shit of some sort going on where he needs to call everybody else gay, right? Like,
I mean, it's fascinating to me that this guy's really pretty much rehabilitated. Like, he's in movies all the time and stuff. Like, no one has ever, like, kind of...
He's a big time producer. Yeah. He produce Power?
Yeah.
He's just all over the place. He's like one notch short of Snoop Dogg, you know.
That's what's so weird is, like, nobody is calling out this just outward homophobe. Like, okay, look, guys, I'm not defending... I want to be clear. I'm not defending anything that Diddy is doing here. What I am criticizing is people using this opportunity to spew homophobia. That's what I think is wrong. What Diddy did was wrong. Diddy... I have no proof of it, but based on what I've read, sounds like not a very good person. And and none of this stuff that none of these accusations are good, like acceptable, if they're true.
I'm okay with the blackmailing Hollywood people. That's fine. I mean, that's sort of a victimless crime if all he's doing is getting on his own success with it and not like actually destroying lives. The other stuff is much worse.
I mean, it comes off as though the people criticizing this they'd be fine with it if he was doing it to women.
Yeah.
Don't do it with a guy. What's wrong with you? How dare you?
Judarino in the chat asked, Rob, what if Diddy had shrimp cocktail at his parties?
Oh, I'm in.
You would just use the Epstein excuse, like, I went for the shrimp cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I just wanted, I got the free vacation, you know?
I heard the rumors, but you know what? I mean, that was some pretty good shrimp.
And honestly, what could Diddy blackmail you about that you haven't already talked about on this show? That's like, it's all right out in the open. He's got nothing.
He has footage of me in a room listening to and enjoying Psyopus.
He has footage of you whacking off at your job that one time.
Oh, shit.
He had access to the security cameras.
Did I talk about that here on the show?
Didn't you?
Yes, no, I did.
You must have.
Oh, yeah. No, I know about it. So.
Yeah.
No, remember you said you even came on your stomach at work? I remember that part of the...
Wow. Well, it had to go somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it was your stomach. You said you got it on you, though.
Where would it go? In a toilet paper?
Like, no, I mean, well, I don't know where it should go, but I'm just saying the fact that could create an issue at work, you know, I mean, yeah, like you made a mess.
It should have gone on some Power Man 5000 merch.
I see.
Where nobody would ever see it again.
Yeah, you go into a tissue, no? I mean, like, just wrap it around the head of your cock and while you jerk off, and then it goes into the tissue.
Then you. But then what if the tissue gets, like, you know, like the wetness traps the tissue and you have that little...
It's like, it's not the best way to do it, but you're doing it in a place that's not optimal, you know?
What if you open like the copier at the office and jerk off in there and then just close it, and then somebody else, they'll be like, oh, the copier's leaking fluid. Somebody needs
they'll walk into work and go, wow, this is better than the usual toner smell. What is that? It's a Rob jizz.
Smells like sunflower seeds and a hint of frothed milk. More Rob, so. Get over here.
Wait a minute.
So I want to point out that he did not know his father, 50 Cent. He may have. It's hard to say because it says Jackson was born in the borough of Queens and raised in its South Jamaica neighborhood by his mother, Sabrina. Sabrina, a drug dealer, raised Jackson until she died in a fire when Jackson was 8 years old. Jackson revealed in an interview that his mother was a lesbian. After his mother's death and his father's departure, Jackson was raised by his grandparents. So,
but it doesn't say when his father departed.
Right. But
it has to be by eight years old. That you made the assumption first.
I didn't make the assumption. I made because I know his backstory. It's his history. It's her story. His erstory.
Why do you know 50 Cent's backstory?
Because it was a big thing. I followed pop music when he was blowing up.
Darren, I don't know. You weigh in. Do you think Rob's just trying to like cover his own ass now? Think.
Hold on.
I wouldn't have said that about Ursher.
I think Erstery should be the show title. Erstery. Erst-story.
Oh, my God.
So I just needed to get that off my chest. Not the cum, the 50 Cent story.
That's still there.
Yeah, that's still there from this moment.
2004.
So is Diddy arrested? What's happening? Are they taking him in yet or no? They've just raided his home so far.
He's a billionaire. He's fine.
Okay.
Well, Epstein wasn't fine.
Yeah.
You're right.
They hanged him.
But no, I think there was footage of him showing up at some music festival this week. Let's see. Let's go on TMZ and see what latest on Diddy is. They're the top source on Diddy drama. Would be TMZ and the New York Post, I guess, are the two big outlets.
Getting all the Diddy duty today.
Diddy duty.
Did Diddy do dirty duty?
Nothing to... Okay, here we go. Diddy services in public again, this time with Stevie J in tow. I don't know who Stevie J is.
Me neither.
Dirty duty! He's dirty dick. He's hanging out in Miami. Yeah, I guess guess there's nothing too.
Can we see if he's on the Buffalo traffic cam?
No, he's heading for the border.
Yeah, he's trying to get to Canada.
Yeah, he's just hanging out in Miami. He went to a golf thing.
He's just buying time until he can get on a boat somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess there's some beef between Diddy and Fitty.
Oh, no.
Because the mother of 50 Cent's child, Daphne Joy, was in Diddy's circles, and there's a rumor that she participated in some sex work at Diddy's behest. Oh. And 50 Cent is saying that this is disgusting, you know, obviously just toxic misogyny, and that he's going to get custody of their child because of this, of their 12-year-old.
Has he ever met this 12-year-old?
There is a photo of the three of them together.
Do they seem happy? She's not still doing sex work, right?
No.
It's only when P. Diddy asks her to do it.
What's it?
What's interesting is like, oh, I didn't know you were a sex worker, LOL. And then Daphne, this is the woman in question, of course, Daphne Joy, responded to him, let's put the real focus on your true evil actions of raping me and physically abusing me. So, interestingly, no one discussing the allegations against Fitty.
Because she's a sex worker. I mean, why would you?
Right. She's a how could a sex worker be raped? Right. You know, that's impossible.
That's a drop.
Oh, wait a minute. 50 has said those accusations are baseless.
As Rob would say, she's a sex worshker.
Rob's going to put a lot of audio out there today. That's going to, I don't know. Well, better hope if you submit any resumes that they don't play this podcast.
I mean, yeah, like this isn't the one that's going to do me in anyway.
Well, ain't helping.
Yeah, it's quite fair. Yeah.
I like keeping a tight asshole.
That's true.
Well, that's good. You prefer that at the workplace. You don't want a loose one, just leaving droplets everywhere.
Leaving duty everywhere?
Yeah.
Dirty duty.
Let's see what else is going on in the world. Oh, speaking of hip hop, the morning show, The Breakfast Club, recently had Eric Adams on, and what a wonderful moment in radio this was, because Charlemagne, the God, the host, brought in a special guest, which was a local civil rights attorney. And a political commentator, her name, I believe, is Olayemi Olorin.
Yeah, and on Twitter all the time.
She is great. And she did her homework. And you can tell that she did her homework because, you know, we've had a lot of fun mocking Eric Adams because he's very mockable.
Yes.
He's a big doofus.
Yes.
I feel like he's a lot like George W. Bush. Like, he's a terrible authoritarian, and he's also not that bright at the same
time. Yes.
Yeah, like, there was a supercut the other week of how he would exclaim that New York is the something of America, you know, like...
Comparing it to just, like, other worldwide cities or countries.
Yeah. I wish I could find it. Damn it.
It's like his go-to line that he just says in any context.
Yeah, I can't find the supercut, but I found like 50 videos of him saying it in different
New context. York City is the Tel Aviv of America, but
1 million
Jewish people live in New York City. And we know far too
This
well.
Was in Athens, Greece, too, which
is so weird. Wait, I mixed up my notes.
That was a summit to stop anti-Semitism, and it took place in Athens, Greece? All right.
I guess.
Real burden on
I can't find any other ones, I guess. Let's see. Maybe this. Nope.
You can't find the clip of the one clip of him just saying it over and over?
No. Sad. Let's see. This is what's the problem with Twitter search. It's broken. Anyway, so he was on, and, you know, a lot of stuff is going on in New York right now. There's a lot of questions about how safe it is. There's been a lot of, I feel, fear-mongering about how unsafe, how it's just crime-ridden. You can't walk on the street. The subways are unsafe. And, you know, they've even dispatched National Guard into the subway and all these extra police officers spending all this money that could be used on, I don't know, patching up roads or funding schools. And so Eric Adams came on the show. And as we've established, Eric Adams, a bit of a New York socialite, or as some might call, a star fucker. He loves... He loves getting, like, hanging with the celebs and hobnobbing. And so I think he clearly came into this thinking it was going to be a softball interview, talking about his favorite Wu-Tang album or whatever. And instead, he gets, like, hit with a huge uppercut to the jaw to the point that he is literally stuttering. I want to play this clip. This is the first one that I saw, and there's a whole 1 hour interview. I highly suggest if you enjoy watching a politician be made uncomfortable by having their own policies thrown back in their face, this is the interview to watch. So let's play this clip here. I believe this is it. Yeah.
I think you're right that there is a difference between perception and fact and how people feel about safety and the way people feel about the subways. And I think it's your own rhetoric about the subways that has a lot to do with why people feel scared, despite the fact that millions of people ride the subway every day without incident. But you've continued to fearmonger about crime in the subways. You've added 2,000 police officers, despite the fact that you've acknowledged that the subways are not that dangerous. And I think you're right. Poor New Yorkers should not be the ones who bear the brunt of this, but they will if they already have the subway being turned into a place that they have to fear, that there's a National Guard, that there's a hyper-visibility of police, that they're trying to stop people with certain records from even using them, and now you have this congestion price. So how do you reconcile that?
Well, let's go before. First of all, I would love to give me the quotes of my writers. I'm lost on that. Can you give me the quotes?
Oh, that you fearmonger about the subways?
Yeah, give me
you've consistently done that since the one of your administration.
Literally any quote.
You did was add 1,000 officers to the subway because you claimed that the subways are unrideable. You and Hochul did this and said how dangerous it is. And you recently did that when you deployed the National Guard.
Sister, but that wasn't my question.
Sister.
My question was, what was my fear mongering? What did I say?
You continuously say, I could point to a number of videos and quotes and everything from you, but you've said repeatedly that the subways are dangerous, that New York is dangerous. You complain about crime relentlessly. So what I'm saying to you is, if you are saying that New York is the safest city, it's one of the safest big cities in this country, which is true, and you're recognizing that the subway stations are, in fact, not half as dangerous as they're presented to be, I'm saying, how do you reconcile how your rhetoric has played into people's fear?
Okay. And not even just rhetoric, I would say the actions, because she's right. If you tell us
which is that they're the safest, which is different.
But it's the same thing, though. If you put 1,000 police officers in the subway, 2,000...
I love how he's like, oh, Charlotte's going to help me. And he's like, well, no, I'm not. I'm not helping you. And then you can see the look on his face like, fuck.
To
like,
be fair, though, when do you think was the last time Charlemagne took the subway? Like, he doesn't know what the hell's going on down there. He's just picking sides here. He has no clue what's going on in the subway. Darren, you muted.
The actions, because she's right. If you tell
Eric Adams is probably right now, like, this motherfucker, you let Joe Biden come on this show and piss in your mouth. And you're going to now hound me? Get the fuck out of here.
Joe Biden had that Diddy blackmail material on him, so he was prepared. Can't fuck with
Deuterino has a good point. Charlemagne hasn't been on the train in forever because he heard about Rob's butt bump he got from the subway steps. Charlemagne's too afraid.
It's different. But it's the same thing, though. If you put 1,000 police officers in the subway, 2,000 police officers in the subway, that don't make us feel safe. We think something's wrong if you're doing that.
Let me peel back again, because you got to always peel back this stuff, you know, because oftentimes how you depict in the media that I don't control is how people interpret you. I didn't put the National Guards in the subway. The governor did.
I know, but I know what you said.
What you said?
Yeah!
You stood with Governor Kathy Hochul, and you co-signed that decision. You did. And I'm not saying this as someone who's following social media. I'm saying that as an attorney in the city and an activist who follows everything that you do.
Yeah, if you, I'm glad you do. Because then you realize.
Look at how he's like turned on by that. Like, oh, you follow me?
She's just doing anything he can to try to cut the tension or just like turn this friendly. And she's not at all interested.
Her demeanor is incredible throughout this whole thing. It's so good.
Yeah, if you, I'm glad you do. You realize how I turned the city around. If you follow everything I do, you realize
I would say no, but we could get.
Here's another clip that I found. There's so many good clips here. Look, again, I highly recommend just watching the whole thing.
I represented hundreds.
The family members of a slain officer?
No, not the slain officer.
Okay, of course
no,
you
but what about the 19-year-old that was killed yesterday by NYPD in Queens when he called for help? Have you said anything about that? Are you visiting them?
Yeah, the first of all, that's
is New York safe or not?
You kind of bailed Eric Adams out with another different attack.
Yeah.
Answer that question first.
Here's the context of that of the clip I just played.
Tasked with ensuring that NYPD, the federal monitor who is tasked with ensuring that NYPD is following the law, conducted an analysis that happened 8 years ago, but they're still here monitoring what you're doing. And they said that you have brought back stop and frisk policies that are worse than they saw even during the Bloomberg era. But more importantly, they analyzed the neighborhood. The report is available, and I know it's been available to you because your spokesperson has commented on it. They did an analysis of over 10 precincts, 10 different precincts that is factual. There's a federal monitor reporting to Judge T. Swain on it and presenting information.
I feel it's so demeaning that he's calling her sister. Like, is he calling Charlamagne brother? You know, like it feels like I don't want to say it's flirting, but
he's trying to like expose his underbelly and like appear friendly. It's like, no, we're on the same side here. Remember, look, you're be nice to me, please. Come on.
Yeah, we're both black.
Both black. We're both black, so you're supposed to be nice to me.
Yeah, he walked in there expecting they would just be completely on the talking points and hey, we love you. Great job, guy. He's not getting that. He's just like, I can't just walk out of here, so what the fuck do I do? But I also believe that he does think she's putting out false facts because he probably doesn't know any of them. I feel like he's not mayor at all. So as far as he knows, she's making that stuff up because he's never heard it. Maybe his assistants have, but he was probably not paying attention when they sent it to him.
That's a fair point.
They said that, yes, listen.
He thought they were going to talk about little baby.
You know who I feel really bad for is whoever his media liaison is who booked this interview that got fired immediately after this interview ended, because that person, no way they still have a job.
Just shout into the sun. Oh, he's under Rikers right now.
Oh, my God. It's so
conducted an analysis of 10 different precincts and of the stops of 10 different precincts. They found that 97% of them, by the way, of the neighborhood safety teams that were disbanded in 2020 because of their disproportionate abuse against black and Hispanic people that you revived. They analyzed 10 of those different neighborhood safety teams and found that they're conducting 97% of their stops on black and brown people. And a quarter of them are unconstitutional. That's what the federal monitor said, not me.
Yeah. And that's the same.
But to be fair, all the people who were stopped and frisked were frisked by black people who called them brother or sister. So it's fine. Yeah, it's friendly.
Rob, I'll ask you this, though. If it's a guy frisking another guy, is that gay?
50's like, whoa.
We're asking Rob. We got to ask 50 Cent. He's the arbiter of all gay activities.
There's this show called Seeking Derangement. It's a podcast. What? And they have an ongoing series called Your Man's Gay, where they go through any of these social media declarations of like, if your man does X, he's gay. And they have just like a list of like 600 things. I bet Fitty would agree with all of them.
So wait, it's a comedic thing or they're serious?
It's a comedic thing. Like, they basically scour TikTok for videos of people saying this action is gay. Okay. And it gets more and more absurd. Like, having sex with a woman is gay. Is that, or, like, you know, something like that. It gets ridiculous. Sadly, cannot. I wish I could find that Eric Adams supercut of the him saying everything is the New York of that region. But sadly, it is lost to the annals of the internet.
How is that possible? That was like everywhere for a week.
We've got 50 Cent on the line. He says saying annals is gay. Too close to anal.
Oh, man. Good to know. Good to know that we have 50 Cent now to check in on anytime there's some sort of gay situation.
He's going to call in? That'd be great if, like, every few weeks we just call him up for, like, 2 seconds, just be like, hey, this thing happened. Is it gay? And he gives a yes or no, and then hang up.
I guess Vivica Fox, who dated Fitty for a while, made a suggestion that Fitty himself might be gay.
Well,
what a twist.
I remember when that happened.
When they dated or when he was gay?
When, well, both, but I meant like she said that a few years ago, I think.
Ah.
And he had some clap back to her. Like, called her old or whatever.
I mean, both things can be true.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
I have, in fact, found the Eric Adams.
Oh, supercut. Nice.
I was looking for it, too. I wasn't having any luck either.
There we go. Here we go, folks.
Everyone knows that New York City is the Athens of America.
Is the Istanbul of America.
Is the Keys of America. Is the soul of America. We are the Tel Aviv of America.
New York City is the...
That was a different interview. Where, yeah, a different thing where he called it the Tel Aviv.
Islamabad of America.
Wait, could we go back? Go back to the last one for a quick second, Rob. Just look at the portly man to the left. Does he have a slingshot tucked into his shirt? What is that? What's going on over there? Is that like a Dusty Rhodes stomach splotch that's like escaping his torso? What am I looking at?
Is it like a diabetes thing, maybe?
Is it an Iron Man like power crystal?
No, it's the diabetes pump, right? To like the insulin pump.
That's probably the most.
He's wearing Vader's ring gear, I think.
It's America. New York City is the Islamabad of America. The
Zagreb flag of
America. We are the Lima of America. New York City is Mexico City of America. This is the Dublin of America. New York City. Everyone knows that.
I have to say, you know, for a shitty mayor, he's the best type of shitty mayor.
He's Joe Quimby. He just needs the sash.
Era Springfield era is the Tel Aviv of America.
That's 100%. That's why he was fine as a borough president, because growing up, that's what borough presidents were. They didn't actually do policy. They were just like mascots for their borough. They'd show up at like store openings and shit and restaurants and whatever, and that's it. And that's what he's cut out for. Yeah. He is not cut out to actually run a fucking city at all.
He desperately wants to just do that and throw lots of black people in prison.
Well, yeah.
If he could do both of those things and not have to answer any questions, it would be great. But he wanted to do this other stuff.
Remember when he first got elected, people were like, oh, is president next? Is he going to run for president next?
I would say it's not off the table yet.
What?
Sid, you can't say that while I'm taking a drink of water. I almost splashed my water everywhere. Eric Adams.
I'm not making that up, though, right? People were saying that.
Yeah.
America is the America of the world.
He said it into a handkerchief, and then he said, did you hear that? People are saying I should run for president. You hear that, sister?
Oh, my God. I mean, Chris Christie and fucking de Blasio ran for president, so.
Oh, come on. Chris Christie makes Chris Christie look like FDR. Chris Christie, if you... Like, look at some of the things he says in a context, like take it in a vacuum. Don't look at all his other ridiculous shit and how gigantic he is. Some of it sounds reasonable. You know what
I mean?
You're
just saying nice things because he's a Mets fan.
Honestly, no, I forgot that, to be real with you.
He is one of the more tolerable Republicans, I would agree. In terms of, you know, like if we're lowering the bar to just that.
Well, he's a Republican, but he's still a piece of shit.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
But he's like a kind of piece of shit we grew up around, so we're a little bit more like conditioned to it. We know guys like Chris Christie.
All I'm saying is you're putting him next to Eric Adams. He comes out, he gets the W. Yeah. I don't mean I like Chris Christie.
I would agree. He's far more competent.
Dan A. in the chat says, RIP a live cast is the New York of live casts.
I mean, pretty much. That's our distilled essence.
Yeah. I miss the old Islamabad of America.
Do you think this photo was taken before or after the interview?
Oh, my God.
Definitely after.
Because
look how strained his smile is. He wants to. He would have been like just looking at her tits before.
No, she really needs to primary him. She would 100% win.
Oh, man. She has my vote. She needs to be the lead anchor on fucking every news program ever. You know, like get Chuck Todd out of there.
Oh, my God.
I had a little issue with her because she once did this like long 3.5 hour video about why it's urgent that if you're a leftist, you have to vote for Joe Biden, which was just very, it was a lot of the
recently.
Yeah, like, well, 3 months ago, maybe.
Right.
It was this election, though. And it was like really this. And I kind of liked her before that. And I think she makes like good arguments with stuff. But it was like she really nothing but like trotting out the same lame ass arguments that have, you know, like nothing new and just very lame and like scaremongering. Like, well, Trump's going to, you know, open internment camps for people and stuff like that. So. You know, it was just very lame, but I still like her. I'm not like going to like cancel her for that, but it was very off-putting and disappointing. Like I have high standards for her.
And that is a bummer.
There's worse things.
There are worse things, like the new single from Lara Trump.
What?
Anything is possible.
Who's Lara Trump?
She is the wife of Eric Trump.
Ah.
The daughter-in-law of former 45th president Donald Trump. I guess he's still the 45th president. He's always going to be that.
Yeah,
we just have a 46th.
The former 45th president.
He's lost that title in a ladder match.
Oh shit! To Umaga.
No, he did it.
Maga versus Umaga.
Let's hear a sample of this hot banger. Anything is possible. Now, before I play it, what do you think it sounds like? What genre?
I'm going to say like pop electronica.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say adult contemporary, the type of thing you would hear on VH1 in the aughts at like 4 p.m.
Natasha Bedingfield?
Like it immediately after a Sheryl Crow video, this comes on, you know, something like that.
Kylie Minogue.
Oh my God.
You can't give up.
Oh my God.
Know that anything
we're all wrong.
Is possible.
Does she not know autotune exists?
No, I think this is the best autotune can do with what she gave it.
Oh my God.
Anything is possible except making her sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing is impossible, clearly.
She said, hold on, rewind it to the beginning. Did she say, don't think, just jump? That was like a Steve Harvey speech, wasn't it? Remember that? You got to jump. You got to jump, man.
So don't think, just jump.
Yes.
You can't give up. Know that anything is possible.
The way she says anything is possible really just like it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. It hurts. It hurts to listen to. Let's go back.
Have faith, believe, just trust, you'll see anything is possible.
She sounds like if Kesha couldn't sing.
Yeah. Agreed.
Anything.
It looks like it too. Anything. Yeah, there's an H in anything.
It's if anything's possible if you drink Hennessy.
It's a commercial. I've had my ups and downs. Cried when no one's around. But still I gotta put my game face on. Even when I'm not feeling strong.
Oh yeah.
She's getting sassy.
Anything is right up there with Usher.
Also, I believe, isn't she the chairperson of the RNC?
Is she? Trump? Maybe.
I believe.
I mean, that's kind of like being the Brooklyn Borough President.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, she controls the funds there. There's a big...
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, she co-chaired... Oh, yeah. She is the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Yes.
I don't think the co-chair is the one that handles the funds. Isn't that there a president of the RNC that does that? Like how Donna Brazile was? Oh, maybe I'm wrong. The titles are different or something.
I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not sure.
I got this Steve Van Halen jump thing queued up. Steve Harvey.
I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to tell you something that every successful person has to do, including you.
This sounds like Eric Adams, too, almost.
Every successful person in this world. As you jump. Go ahead, jump. 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 You got to jump. You got to jump, man.
Just like Lara.
They could both jump.
Don't think. That's perfect. Jump. That's to jump off a bridge.
Yeah.
It's perfect for both Steve and Lara Trump. You just don't think just because they're idiots.
With them, it's not a choice. They don't really have the option to think, so they just jump.
Yeah,
jump.
Whoa! I love how Steve's giving his little monologue there, and then you just hear David Lee Roth in the background freaking out.
He's another one who just jumps.
Yeah, right. So got this.
Jump. Oh, Steve.
You got to jump, man.
Should we at some point check back in with Judge Steve Harvey? That's somehow still on the air, right?
Is it?
I think so.
No.
I think it is.
I'm glad I wasn't drinking water when you said that.
Let me confirm.
Steve needs to jump out of the way of P. Diddy trying to get his grandkids.
Yeah, the most recent episode was March 13th.
Oh,
it was entitled, Don't Get in Grown Folk Business.
Oh, okay.
The episode before that was entitled, You Would Make an Excellent Judge.
Don't get in grown
somebody else. Someone saying it to him.
Don't get in grown folk business. A sentence often ringing around the courtrooms of jurisprudence in the United States. It really nailed the atmosphere.
All right, folks. A lot of sympathy for Eric Adams today. You know, he didn't deserve that. I don't think. No, he did.
I wish he would have, like, there would have been like more squirming. I feel like he just did the sister thing, and they should have made him like really squirm, like ratcheted up the heat. Maybe there's other clips. I don't know. But
yeah, it seems like a lot of these get cut off right as the squirm is about to happen.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe there wasn't. Put the exclamation point on their statement, but then we don't see the reaction as much.
I want to see him like writhing around on the ground, like, please make it stop.
Well, make a fish.
I just wanted to be mayor to open like 7-Elevens. That's it. Car dealerships.
I just wanted to keep Rikers open. That's all I wanted.
That else. Too.
Leave me alone.
Well, that too.
Oi. But he's got your vote, right, Rob, in the next election?
Eric Adams?
Yes.
Well, what if there's a Republican that's worse?
Now, who's going to run against him this time, assuming he gets through the primary? Is it going to be Sliwa again? Is it going to be Nicole Malliotakis again? What other prominent New York City Republicans are there to choose from? John Katsimatidis?
Why doesn't somebody?
Katsimatidis, baby.
So this is why.
Can he be primaried?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk of that. What were you saying, Darren?
I was saying, why doesn't some smart person go become a Republican and file as a Republican and just run to his left? And you're like, who's going to stop you from doing that?
But then why wouldn't they just primary him?
Wouldn't the Republican Party stop him from doing that?
But if they have fair elections or whatever, but if there's this groundswell of like people who are sick of both of these candidates, and you have one option that just happens to be running under the name Republican, why wouldn't that person win the primary? If they take your chances, at least, you know what I mean? Maybe you'll beat all the shitty Republicans.
But wouldn't Democrats have to register as Republicans to go and vote for that person in the Republican primary to get them through?
So do it.
That's asking a lot. Asking a lot to get New York City citizens to vote in primaries at all, let alone have to go and change their registration. And then
how about this? Maybe inspire people to vote that didn't want to vote because none of their interests aren't represented at all. There's a lot of those.
They would have to register as Republican.
I think just primary him in the Democratic Party. There's already a groundswell for that. I think it's easier to do that on the local level than it is on the national level.
And how come we keep getting like Eric Adams and Bloomberg and all these other fucking
people? Well, Eric Adams, I think we got because of the way the new voting system with the
ranked choice.
The ranked choice. It's basically like ranked choice by like elimination. He kind of won by a technicality in a sense.
All I'm saying is what we're doing now ain't working. Mm.
I also feel like anybody who gets elected mayor is doomed to be horrible. I can't remember the last time we had a good one. So I feel like even if he's primaried from the left, that person will screw up somehow too.
I don't think they're becoming mayor and becoming horrible. I think we just keep electing horrible people. Yeah. Liberals love the cops. Fucking Bloomberg.
I mean, de Blasio wasn't as cop friendly, right?
No, de Blasio is like he was other terrible ways. In other ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they all find a unique, special way to suck.
Rob, you okay?
Yes, I am. Okay.
Thinking of candidates.
I'm trying to. Yes, exactly. Like who? Paperboy Princess. Who's my candidate?
That's still
it's Pizza Rat. I vote for Pizza Rat.
You sure?
Mike Piazza.
Maybe it's my time to run.
Oh.
My time to shine, folks.
Are you a citizen, though?
You piece of shit. I'm more of a citizen than you are, motherfucker. True. I was born in this country.
It's true. I mean, so you say.
It's fair.
He's consorting with Brazilians now. We don't know. Our nationals.
I've never actually seen the birth certificate is all I'm saying. You've never shown it to me. And I did live with you and you had plenty of opportunities.
Should I whip it out? It's right here.
You have it on you?
Yeah, it's in my desk.
Like at your parents' house or something?
Why would I need to, like I need it, not my, why would my parents need it?
Well, what if somehow, you know, they cross a line and you want to say that they aren't actually your parents? They need some proof also. Do they at least have a copy?
No, Rob doesn't want that to happen. He's not gonna.
Yeah, it's fucked up. You're blackmailing them with that birth certificate.
That's right.
Did you ever
step off, Mama Raba?
Did you ever force your mom to do sex work?
Wow.
You want a phone call, Mom? Go out on the street and turn some tricks first.
Can we get 50 on the line to see what he thinks about that?
Call me back when you're earning.
Walk that track.
This is fucked up, Rob.
Walk that Brighton Beach boardwalk.
Robert, I'm tired.
I'm tired, don't make money.
Oh, I'm guessing, Rob, you won't want this part extracted as a social media clip.
No.
Okay, that's correct. We'll bring it up after the show.
Thank you.
I'll just cross that one off right now.
Surprised you even wrote it down.
All right. Let's talk about our Spotify picks. Every week, we each pick a song, throw it on a playlist. You can look for it on Spotify. Search RIP Alivecast Music Break. It's on there. We have so many songs. We have 652 songs, 43 hours of wonderful music. And my pick this week is from the Fearless Flyers. More jazz. I mentioned a few weeks ago I went to see a jazz drummer do a completely improvised set. It was very nice. It was very fun. I'm still jazzed by it. And I've been
How do you
diving.
Know it was completely improvised?
Well, that's what they said. I mean, I guess they could be lying. They even brought in brought up a vocalist. Like, I'm supposed to believe that he came up with those lyrics on the spot?
Did they take suggestions from the crowd?
No, it wasn't that kind of improv.
Oh.
They just, somebody, they, like one of the musicians started with a beat and they would do two measures to kind of establish it. And then the drummer, or like there was a keyboard, a bass, and a drum. So whichever guy started, then the next person would come in and then the next person would come in and they would just trade off and feel each other out. It was very fun to watch.
Could that be a thing though? Is that a thing though? Like if you combine like the comedy improv show and a jazz improv show, so like the jazz musicians come out and they ask the audience like hum a beat and we'll come up with a song to that beat or give us like something to think about to inspire our music.
I mean, they're already doing that. They're already doing that just without the audience suggestion. Like somebody comes up with a beat. And then,
but the audience suggestion is the crucial part because that's sure, how we sure. know it. They came up with it on the spot because otherwise they might have had a beat pre-prepared.
Right. But the others wouldn't have it prepared, would they?
I don't know. But if
I guess we'll have to talk to Nate Smith about this.
You have his phone number. Text him right now.
Well, this is his project with a few other really great jazz musicians called the Fearless Flyers. It's very catchy. It's very upbeat. It's instrumental, but it's really, really fun and dancey. So I think you will enjoy this track that I picked out.
Is the track improvised?
It sounds blue. No, this is not improvised. this is a song. It sounds like the soundtrack of like a caper film, like somebody's doing a bank robbery, and this is the music that would be playing in the background. It's
How long
fun.
Is the track?
Track is 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, okay, that's completely tolerable.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, wait till the 4 minutes is up.
Take a listen to it and let me know. Sid, what's your pick?
Well, first, Deuterino asks if I like the band The Helicopters, and the answer is yes. I haven't listened to like anything recent, but back in the day, for sure, I had multiple Helicopters albums. Very good garage rock type of stonery rock from Finland, Norway, Sweden, some blonde people country up there that also has metal music.
When they do a live show, do they do meat spins, The Helicopters?
I've never actually seen them live, but I wouldn't be surprised. I would totally believe that they did that. First, we have a user submission of a playlist pick from Jander this week. He kept it simple and picked the song Burn by The Cure, which is on the Crow soundtrack. And he says, happy 30th anniversary to the Crow soundtrack, because that movie and soundtrack came out 30 fucking years ago. We are old. Do you guys, by the way, and this is a discussion I wanted to have with Jander in the chat, and he wasn't interested in the Discord. Do you guys like the movie The Crow?
Yeah, it was fine. It's all right.
Okay, so my contention is the only reason that movie is remembered at all, outside of the soundtrack being really good, which undoubtedly a very good soundtrack, the only reason that movie is remembered at all is because Brandon Lee was killed during the making of the movie. If that didn't happen,
that's fair.
Nobody would remember that movie.
I think one other thing. I think that's the biggest reason. That's like 75% of it. I think it also speaks to like a certain kind of goth sensibility of people. Like, it's very cool and brooding and dark. And also, we have lots of movies like that now, but that was what, like 1994 or something? So that I don't even know what year that was.
Yeah, 30 years ago. Yeah.
So that was a brand new thing in culture, especially cinema, like to have this brooding, dark
character. And added that the guy fucking died while filming it, that makes it even more brooding and goth. Yeah.
I think it spoke to a certain like generational thing.
Fair.
But mostly the shooting. I agree.
Yeah. That might be an interesting watch along for us to do, because when was the last time either of you saw that movie?
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Saw it in the theater, and that's
same. So maybe it's better than we remember, or maybe we have it confirmed. Maybe that could be a thing we do, since it is the 30th anniversary.
Sure.
I just remember thinking it's not a bad movie at all. I was entertained, but this is not for me. I'm not the audience for this, but it's fine, like Rob said.
All right, and my playlist pick, and this is the rare occasion where I picked a song almost completely because of the name of the song. I do like the artists. The Dandy Warhols and Frank Black of the Pixies got together for a new song, and the name of the song is Danzig With Myself. The song itself is fine. It's nothing amazing. It's like a, you know, trippy kind of... It sounds like the Dandy Warhols pretty much. But the title is so fun that it was a winner for me. Danzig With Myself by the Dandy Warhols and Frank Black. Darren, what was your pick?
Well, my song was called Cara de Gitana by Daniel Magal, which is it means face of a gypsy, which is kind of a canceled term now, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to say gypsy, but Gitana, I think in Spanish, is still relatively innocuous. And it's a nice Spanish dancey pop song. This guy's a really good singer. He was really popular, I think, in the 70s and 80s. Got a big, thick mustache. He looks like Eric Estrada with a big, thick mustache. This is very much of its time. So it's kind of like but it's a great song regardless. But if you look at a picture of him, he's very, like a Latino Tom Selleck, sort of.
Okay.
Very, very nice, sad love song. Highly recommend it.
Very nice. And of course, if you want a little more live cast in your life, you can always subscribe to our Patreon and show us a little bit of support. Even if you don't want the extra podcast, but you love our show, you love the free content we put out every week, and you were like, wow, I can't believe this is free. I would pay for this. You can pay for it. Patreon.com/RIPLivecast. And you get two bonus episodes every month. This month we had some really fun episodes. We did a episode where we just went through a bunch of links and it got a little inappropriate with AI, with some very just uncomfortable and frank AI simulations, which I'm very glad are
not saved to his hard drive. I'm very disappointed.
They're in the Patreon episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want any evidence on my hard disk if my house ever gets raided by Diddy's FBI informants.
Aren't you storing the episode on your hard drive?
Mm.
What was that?
Are you storing?
I gotta go.
For sure.
RIP this week has two meanings. One, RIP to Louis Gossett Jr., who just passed away from Coney Island, which I did not know. Went to Lincoln High School.
I didn't even know. Yeah, I didn't know he passed away. RIP to Louis Gossett Jr. Right? Oh.
And also, we'll say it stands for Really Indicting Puffy.
Yeah. Okay. The other bonus episodes we have is we did a watch along of the 1989 Hulk Hogan starring vehicle, No Holds Barred. One hold was barred, which was Creativity, because this movie sucked. it was very bad.
Well, also every other wrestling hold that you can think of was barred, because it's just punching and kicking the whole time.
Yeah.
Handles.
But we had a very, very, very fun time roasting it. It's definitely a fun watch along. And there's so many great watch alongs. If it's a rainy day and you want to hang out with friends, but you don't want to leave the house, you have hours of watch alongs that we've posted. We posted like 50 watch alongs, literally. Some other recent ones are Action Jackson.
That's great.
Big Stan starring Rob Schneider, which was
not great.
My dad demanded I watch it because it was so funny. And all I did watching this movie was lose respect for my father. Like, here, like, look at this thumbnail that we have for this watch along, and look at my face. Like, the respect for my dad is leaving my body here. Like, it's like, I can't believe my dad recommended this for me. That's what it is. So many great videos. Other than that, in the watch logs, we did some Hanukkah movies. We watched the Foo Fighters horror movie, Studio 666. We actually did a watch along of Rob Schneider's stand-up special, which is even worse than his movie. And also we have listen-alongs of famous albums by Metallica, by
Megadeth,
by we did the Metallica Lou Reed
album, Guns N' Roses,
which was Guns N' Roses. Yeah, tons of great stuff in the Patreon. And April 1st, this Monday, we are going to be posting a brand new episode where we do a watch along of Cosmo, Queen of Melrose. There's like a 45-minute interview with him, and we learned so much about Cosmo, our newest obsession, and it's essentially a solo induction into the Livecast Hall of Fame. It is a full episode about Cosmo. We love Cosmo, and you'll love him too. So patreon.com/RIPLivecast. Anything you guys want to add before we do
that,
the shout out?
That episode is a real journey in Rob coming to terms with Cosmo's pronouns.
Yes. I was all over the place.
He finally lands it, but
A journey within the sentence sometimes.
Quite a winding path.
I would also like to add, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Rob, too much, but I think Cosmo should be in our Livecast banner.
Ooh.
Oh, I like that. Our banner has been due for an update, so we'll definitely add Cosmo because he's a true Livecast hero.
Is Mick Mars in there? Could add him,
no,
too.
No, but Vince is in there.
Maybe Eric Adams.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go. Dudorito with some great listener feedback. He adds the watch alongs of Anvil, Some Kind of Monster, and the Pantera Home videos were amazing.
Thank you.
Those are some of the early ones that we did. Mm-hmm. Very fun. The Some Kind of Monster one is actually free.
Yeah.
You don't even need a Patreon subscription for that one. And of course, if you want to show us a little extra love, $10 a month gets you a top Livecast fan badge, and you get a shout out at the end of the show, which is right now. How are we doing these shout outs? Hello?
Each I can hear you. You're right.
Oh yeah.
Each one of these people, you're gonna say a thing that you as Puffy are blackmailing them with.
All right. Eric, you were hugged by another man, so you are being blackmailed by that. You gay. Benjamin caught you cheating on your wife with 50 Cent's baby mama. There's footage of it. Dan R, cocaine.
All right, I'm gonna switch it up on you now. The rest of these, you will just say their names, but the way you say Ursher.
Okay. Mindy Mayer's Kerpa. Shasursits. That's already it's already built in. Shasursits.
Just the normal in. Word.
Yeah. Masur, Massachusetts would be.
Sorcerer, Massachusetts.
Lander Dankser.
Lander Danks.
Lercroit.
Lercroit.
Crory and Scurdy H.
Oh. Hirsch. I'm a Hirsch.
Hurin. Durglas. Hur you. Lervinson. Drinder. Drinder.
Spelled like grinder.
Grinder. Randy Blager. Blard. Blard. All right. That's our show, folks. We got to get out of here. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, we got a nice visitor as we close out the show. And we'll be back next week. We love you. We kiss you. Bye-bye.
Just got to say, Rob, the way you read that list,
pretty gay.